It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, special Christmas Day edition. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Once again, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Still talking Penn State, Memphis in the Cotton Bowl on Saturday. Coming to you from Dallas. Penn State a seven point favorite in this game, over under set at 59.5. We will discuss this matchup a little bit more, maybe big picture, you know, where Penn State is going, coming into this bowl, going out of this bowl, and then we'll eventually get to our picks in this game. One thing we didn't talk about when it comes to sort of news of this game, Memphis will be without, their starting right tackle in this game. Yetur Gross-Matos, as we discussed before, is leaving early for the NFL, but he is playing in this game. So one component of this that's worth watching is what's that Penn State pass rush going to be able to do to try to get this Memphis offense, which is very, very good and pretty balanced and has some good players, you know, in a number of positions. What can Penn State do to derail this offense? And people feel a little bit better about it knowing that they'll be down a key piece trying to, you know, protect the quarterback. And with Yetur Gross-Matos playing, with Shaka Toney playing, with this defensive end rotation being as talented and explosive as it is, there's some optimism here that this defense can kind of come up with a smothering performance in this game.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think that could be the word that ends up defining this game, is which defense really comes to play and smothers the other opponent. I mean, when you look at how these two teams match up, to me, I think the biggest concern for Penn State is that this can be a pretty wide open Memphis attack. And how do you slow it down consistently when, you know, we've seen from time to time this year, Dustin, that Penn State, the corners in the secondary have struggled quite a bit to stay on the other team's best receivers and not get lost in traffic and coverage and turn around and actually make a play on the ball and all of that. So will that be an issue in this game? And then secondly, after that, is can Penn State, you know, really lock in on this Memphis defense? It's okay. It's not a world-beating defense, but if you let it, it can ride you a little bit. So will Penn State be able to have the creativity and ingenuity to out-scheme them? I mean, ultimately, we talked about it in the first segment, but, you know, Penn State, it's very much a lose-lose situation, because if they can't do these things, folks are going to wonder and be mad why Penn State can't beat up on a group of five team. On the other hand, if it's a blowout, you know, everyone's going to say, well, of course. But I think this will tell us a lot about this team going into 2020. And again, I just can't underestimate the fact that so many of these guys do not want to experience what they experienced in earlier in this year, back in January of 2019, when they lost to Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl and had to go through the rest of the rest of the year with that experience kind of stuck in the back of their mouth. So defensively, offensively, I think Penn State will definitely come out and play in this one.
Is it fair to say that Penn State's defense will be the best unit on the field? Whether they perform that way or not, it's the unit with the best opportunity, I think, to take over this game. And it'll be fun to see, you know, what Brent Pry is able to dial up here. I suspect, you know, without knowing a huge amount about what Memphis has along their offensive line and things like that, you know, the front seven could be an area where Penn State can kind of take control of this game. I'd like to see them do that. I'd like to see that, you know, this linebacker group have themselves a day. It's a group that's going to be kind of changing over a bit from 2019 to 2020, but it could be a dominant showing. You have a guy like Micah Parsons who's fresh off being a consensus All-American. You know, I think the respect level for him has gone through the roof, from other coaches to media to, you know, broadcasters and everybody who sees and feels his impact on a game, even if it's not necessarily a splash play. Like him being able to kind of, you know, be a factor and be somebody that Memphis has a game plan around.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I think what you want to do when you're facing a team with an interim coordinator, and again, Memphis is going to try and do this to Tyler Bowen, is you want to throw as many things that aren't on tape at them as possible, because you're testing whether or not, you know, that guy is capable of making the changes on the fly and then communicating them to his players. And I think, you know, for Penn State, what they'll want to do is obviously they're not going to change the entire offense, but Tyler Bowen certainly, I'm sure, has some wrinkles, and the other coaches do too. Like, I think it'd be silly to assume that Jared Parker and Jaywon Sider and Matt Limegrover aren't offering some tips and advice to Tyler Bowen during the lead up to this game. And I think when you're looking at attacking Memphis, I really think you want to show them as many things that aren't on tape as possible to try and confuse that interim defensive coordinator and get him running around, and then get his players running around and scrambling and all of that. So, yeah, I think that that's important. I'm trying to find that guy's name. It's not working the way I would like it to. But
the old Greg type and talk.
Yeah, it's not going as planned. But, you know, same thing Memphis is going to try and do that defensively. And they're going to try and say, okay, Tyler Bowen, we may have shown you on film that on 3rd and 4 we blitz 4 guys. Well, let's split 6 this time and see if you, number one, if you and your quarterback can figure out we're going to do it. And then number 2, what is that going to make you do down the road to maybe throw off your tendencies or conversely to make ours work? So that's the fascinating kind of cat and mouse game I'll be watching for during this Cotton Bowl.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State Memphis in the Cotton Bowl. It's brought to you by our good friends at 409 Tailgate Club. If you're doing anything for the Cotton Bowl itself or anything for bowl season, looking ahead to the Super Bowl and some of the NFL playoffs, I think you'd have a good idea to go to 409tailgateclub.com. Check out their sauces and rubs. Prep something with their flavors involved. It'll make everything better. If you use code KSN when you get there, 409tailgateclub.com, you get a special discount as well. No reason not to, especially as we go into football season, you go into holidays and New Year's, all that stuff. Any opportunity to host would be better served by the 409 Tailgate Club guys. In this game, I'm curious to see a couple little dynamics on offense now that we're talking about Penn State's offense. Number one, with a little bit of a break, is Journey Brown still head and shoulders above the rest of that running back pack? He looked that way down the stretch. So. Noah Kane not healthy, but okay, now Noah Kane's a little healthier. How does touch distribution go? I think Journey Brown has earned the right to get that lion's share again, but we'll see. I'm curious how that plays out.
Yeah, me too. I think that, if healthy, Noah Kane's probably going to start, I would assume, or if not, he's going to be the second. I mean, James Franklin said if he's not the first running back out there for the game, you guys will, talking to the media, so the media will be questioning why that's the case. I don't know. If Journey Brown does start, I would expect Kane to be the first guy off the bench, and I could see Brown getting 2 series, Kane getting 2 series, and then if they're dead set on going 4 guys, and maybe Slade and Devin Ford get the next 2, and then they cycle it back through. But keep in mind too that part of the issue here is Penn State in a lot of these games just hasn't had enough possessions to get all these guys in. I mean, they've at times been very feast or famine with, scoring really quick and the guy's only out there for a play or two, and then they get the ball back and go 3 and out, and or the other team is on the field for a long time. I mean, think of some of the astounding time of possession differences Penn State's had this year. I know James Franklin will tell you endlessly that that's not a stat that it's relevant anymore, and it is. I mean, I don't think there's any way around that. So
maybe it's time of possession, maybe it's not, but I think snaps as a byproduct of that. I mean, it might not be time on the field, but if your defense is having to defend more snaps than the other defense is, there is an advantage to be had there. I don't care what you say. Now, if Penn State's going quick strike and it's in their personality to go quick strike, that's fine. That's fair. It's not an end all be all, but if Penn State is getting consistently out snapped in games, which I honestly couldn't say, but in some of these higher leverage games, they're being out snapped, and it's surprising, and it takes a little bit of the luster off of even winning performances where they just can't seem to get the other team off the field, and it just James Franklin likes to talk about complementary football, and sometimes the other team's doing a better job of that than Penn State is.
Yeah, and I think that's the word it sometimes we forget about is complementary football, and Penn State plays it at times, and other times it really doesn't. And you can say that all you're worried about is scoring and you don't really care how you do it, but at some point, we have seen Penn State's defense become exhausted because it's on the field too long. And we've seen Penn State not move the ball and thus not score points. And, you know, again, a team like Minnesota who wants to stick, I mean, PJ Fleck couldn't have started killing the clock any sooner than he did. And it almost cost Minnesota that game. Yeah. But, you know, so you, I don't know if you want to use the time of possession in a game like that as a key metric. But at the same time, if you're Penn State, you're supposed to be enforcing your will on a team like the Golden Gophers and not letting them run the clock out on you. Penn State struggled to do that. It was a part of the reason they fell on the road there. So, getting back to the Memphis game, which is what we're talking about here, I don't see them as really a huge clock control team, but I do think that when a group of five team is playing a Power Five school, they might do some things they don't typically do to try and win, because it's a major recruiting tool, I'm sure, for a school like Memphis to say, hey, we won the Cotton Bowl. We won a New Year's Six Bowl. You can get somewhere playing with us. Now, of course, these guys are never going to get to play in a college football playoff. The whole thing's just kind of a farce, quite frankly. But, you know, I think Memphis could do some things that it doesn't normally do to try and, you know, to try and trip up Penn State a bit in this game.
One other, speaking of offensive dynamics, you know, you look at the wide receivers and the pass catchers as a whole. I'm looking for Daniel George to kind of take ownership of his spot now.
Sure.
You know, it was always kind of, he was grouped with Justin Shorter, always viewed as kind of the sidekick to Justin Shorter. Neither of them did have done a whole lot of note, but uh-huh. I think that's something that could build some optimism for the future. If you see Daniel George play a nice game, I'm not talking about a monster game or anything necessarily, but to see him take ownership of that number three role, that would be something that I think solidifies and answers some questions for 2020 also.
Yeah, agreed. I kept thinking and hoping that he was going to, you know, really take off this year, Dustin. And I don't think it is entirely his fault, and maybe the numbers don't match what we expected for him, but he is a guy that I would expect and hope to take a bigger step, starting with the bowl game. Why can't he have his Chris Godwin moment? Remember, Chris Godwin maybe wasn't as far along as everyone wanted him to be or thought he would be. Breaks out in the Pinstripe Bowl. Now he's going to the Pro Bowl. And, as you know, his climb just continued at Penn State and now in the NFL with Tampa Bay. So, I don't know. Maybe Daniel George has that kind of moment as well. It's a great pick for that kind of thing.
I'm going to put you on the spot first. As I mentioned before, Penn State is a 7-point favorite in this game. The over-under of 59.5. So, people anticipating points in this game, what do you think for an outcome?
I have it Penn State 35, Memphis 14. I don't really love that pick, to be honest with you. I don't have a good feel for this game. I think Penn State should win it comfortably, but I'm not sure if that's going to be like a 21-10 comfortable, or maybe a little bit more points on the board.
I'm going to call it 34-31. I'm going to anticipate points being scored in this game. I'm going to anticipate Memphis covering the spread, but I'm going to anticipate that being kind of, you know, the cover being up in the air late in this game. So there's not that big a difference sometimes in game flow between 7 and 3. I got it 34-31. We'll see what happens. We got football coming up this weekend, Penn State Memphis in the Cotton Bowl. For now, we're going to move on. Ask Greg your Penn State football questions and recruiting questions coming up after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas Gift Box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron, all in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.